Isaiah chapter 61, 1 to 11, Messiah's ministry of blessing in both Advents. The word Advent means coming. The ministry of the Messiah in both of his Advents is presented in Isaiah 61, 1 to 11, with Isaiah himself not being aware that Messiah's would have two Advents. We know from 1 Peter chapter 1, 10 through 12, where Peter noted that the prophets of old were actually not aware of the two different Advents, and they had trouble with the prophecies that God had been giving them as to what to do with them, because they recognized they had a problem understanding the timeline, because the Messiah was supposed to come and suffer, he was also supposed to be glorified, and they didn't know, how does that work? How do you have a suffering Messiah, also a glorified Messiah? And they were thinking at the same time. They didn't know about the two Advents. So we view Isaiah 61, 1 to 11 in view of the ministry of our Lord Jesus in both Advents for edifying application. Want to read the passage? And then we will look at it. Isaiah 61, 1 to 11. The Spirit of the Lord God is upon me, because the Lord hath anointed me to preach the good news unto the meek. He hath sent me to bind up the brokenhearted, to proclaim liberty to the captives, and the opening of the prison to them that are bound, to proclaim the acceptable year of the Lord, the day of vengeance of our God, to comfort all that mourn, to appoint unto them that mourn in Zion, to give unto them beauty for ashes, the oil of joy for mourning, the garment of praise for the spirit of heaviness, that they might be called trees of righteousness, the planting of the Lord, that he might be glorified. And they shall build the old wastes, and they shall raise up the former desolations, and they shall repair the waste cities, the desolations of many generations. And strangers shall stand and feed your flocks, and the sons of the alien shall be your plowmen and your vine dressers. But ye shall be named the priests of the Lord. Men shall call you the ministers of our God. Ye shall eat the riches of the Gentiles, and in their glory shall ye boast of yourselves. For your shame ye shall have double, and for confusion they shall rejoice in their portion. Therefore in their land they shall possess the double. Everlasting joy shall be unto them. For I, the Lord, love judgment. I hate robbery for burnt offering. And I will direct their work in truth, and I will make an everlasting covenant with them. And their seed shall be known among the Gentiles, and their offspring among the people. And all that see them shall acknowledge them, that they are the seed which the Lord has blessed. I will greatly rejoice in the Lord. My soul shall be joyful in my God, for he has clothed me with the garments of salvation. He hath covered me with the robe of righteousness, as a bridegroom decketh himself with ornaments, and as the bride adorneth herself with her jewels. For as the earth bringeth forth her bud, and as the garden causes the things that are sown in it to spring forth, so the Lord God will cause righteousness and praise to spring forth in the sight of all the nations. Tremendous. I just love this section of Scripture, because this is the triumphant section of the book of Isaiah dealing with the Messianic kingdom. Isaiah 61, 1 and 2 predict the work of the Messiah as fulfilled in Christ's first coming, his first advent. Jesus had the Spirit of the Lord come upon him at his baptism, just like Isaiah 61, 1 says. And, of course, this happened in Matthew chapter 3, verse 16. He went about the cities of Israel, preaching the good tidings of the kingdom. That's predicted in Isaiah 61, 1b, and Matthew 4, 17 talks about his coming, preaching the gospel of the kingdom. And he preached to the afflicted. Isaiah 61, 1 talks about Jesus healing people who were demon-possessed and the lame and the halt and so forth. These are obviously afflicted people. And then he bound up the brokenhearted. He proclaimed liberty from sin to those captive to it and proclaimed the year of the Lord's favor, namely the time of the offering of the Messianic kingdom. However, when Jesus preached on this passage at his hometown synagogue in Nazareth, he read Isaiah 61, 1 and 2a, and right in the middle of verse 2, he closed the Isaiah scroll, gave it to the synagogue minister, and sat down and began to teach these things are being fulfilled in that day in their ears. I want to just briefly look at that, because this is so very important. In Luke chapter 4, in verse 18, actually, I'll start at verse 17. There was delivered unto Jesus the book of the prophet Isaiah. This is in his hometown of Nazareth, in the synagogue there. And when he had opened the book, he found the place where it was written. And, of course, the place is Isaiah 61:1. The Spirit of the Lord God is upon me, because he hath anointed me to preach the gospel to the poor. He has sent me to heal the brokenhearted, to preach deliverance to the captives, and recovery of sight to the blind, to set at liberty them that are bruised, to preach the acceptable year of the Lord, period. And he closed the book right in the middle of the sentence. And he gave it again to the minister. This would be the servant of the synagogue. And he sat down. And you, remember, you'd stand up to read the word of God, and you sit down to preach. And the eyes of all of them that were on in the synagogue were fastened on him. And he began to say unto them, this day is this scripture fulfilled in your ears. So the big question is, why didn't Jesus finish the verse? Well, the reason he didn't finish the verse is because the last part of that verse deals with his second coming. Notice what the last part of the verse says. Verse 2 of Isaiah 61 says, the day of vengeance of our God. Now, Jesus didn't take vengeance when he came the first time. He came as a meek lamb. In fact, he endured a lot of suffering and a lot of unjust treatment, the cross and so forth. When is he going to take vengeance at the coming of Christ, the second coming, when he comes back on that white horse, remember, and his robe is dipped in blood and so forth, and he treads the wine press of the wrath of God. So that's at the second coming. So Jesus was a dispensationalist. He believed in the first coming, and then he believed in the second coming. And he did not preach the last part of verse 2 of Isaiah 61, because that had to do with second coming. That's why he didn't say, this day is the last part of verse 2 fulfilled in your ears. Just chapter 61, verse 1 to 2a. So, he left the last part of verse 2 that teaches Messiah will proclaim the vengeance of Israel's God and comfort all that mourn, for those events will occur in his second advent, second coming, when he arrives to judge the unrighteous and establish his kingdom, comforting those who have mourned through the great tribulation period. So, verses 3 through 11 continues to predict Messiah's ministry of blessing at his second coming to the earth. And that's what we're dealing with in verses 3 through 11. Here we go. Messiah will then change believing Israelites' sadness to joy. In place of ashes that were put on one's head as a sign of mourning, they would wear a crown. Instead of mourning, refreshing light olive oil would be applied to the face and hair to soothe and brighten one's spirits. It's interesting. That's what they would use. They would use very fine grade olive oil, probably the first press, and just a little bit, and they would anoint it on the hair to make it shiny and keep it from drying out. And also they would put it on the face and wear it, because it would keep the face moist, even through the winter time when you were sitting in front of the fire and the face would tend to dry up and so forth. But this kept the face supple and so forth. So they're going to wear a crown instead of mourning, refreshing light olive oil to be applied to the face and hair to soothe and brighten one's spirits. And bright garments will be worn versus drab sackcloth used in mourning. And this will be because they express joy. Thus, like strong oak trees, the redeemed in Israel will display God's splendor, strength, and stability. I was kidding last night with my wife. I put on my bathrobe. I had two bathrobes. I have a light bathrobe, which is a white one I wear in the sunny, in the summertime. And I have a winter bathrobe. It's like Joseph's. A coat of many colors. It's striped with all sorts of colors of the rainbow. So I was wearing that. And I was kidding her, telling her I got my, robe of joy on tonight. But that's what people are going to have. They're going to have a multicolored clothing because of their joy. And that's what you would wear when you were happy. So it's interesting that the ruins also of ancient cities in Israel will be rebuilt, according to verse 4. And foreigners will stand and tend Israel's flocks, and workmen as plowmen and vine dressers in Israel's fields. That's very interesting in verse 5. Foreigners shall stand and feed your flocks, and the sons of the aliens shall be your plowmen and your vine dressers. Israel won't even have to go out and dress her vines or plow or farm and so forth. Gentiles will do this, and they apparently will do it willingly, because the earth is going to be full of believers, and they're going to be serving. So Israel will be in sort of a higher class. And this is very different, because many times the Jewish people have been horribly mistreated. And and treated as the dregs of society when just the opposite should be occurring. But the wonderful day is coming for the people of Israel, especially when they come to the Lord and trust in him. And so, instead of being lowly laborers, the saved in Israel will be called God's priests and servants of the Lord, who will eat the wealth of the nations and boast in their glory. That would be boast in the glory of the nations. And in place of Israel's former shame, she will be given a double portion, what culturally was allotted to the eldest son, indicating that she would be treated as the Lord's firstborn of privilege, so that there will be everlasting joy in God's people. Due to such blessings in the kingdom, blessings rising out of true righteousness seen in Israel's replacement of robbery and wrong with justice, God will make an everlasting covenant of blessing with Israel so that the nations will acknowledge that Israel truly is God's special people. It's interesting, in verse 9, their seed shall be known among the Gentiles and their offspring among the people. And all that see them shall acknowledge them that they are the seed which the Lord has blessed. When Israel lost the kingdom and she was taken into captivity, the Gentiles would go by the city of Jerusalem. It was all laid waste. And they would say, why has this happened? This has happened because they departed from the Lord. And so it would be known worldwide that because of Israel's sin that she had lost out on the blessing of the Lord. But the day is going to come when just the opposite is going to occur. Israel is going to be justified by God. She's going to be forgiven. And she will be so righteous that God will bless her so greatly that the Gentiles will stop back and say, wow, look at God's people. They're righteous and God is blessing them. And it's going to be just the opposite. Instead of people saying, oh, the poor Jew, what the poor Jew has faced all these centuries, it's going to be different. They're going to say, wow, look at the blessing that God is giving to his people, the people of Israel. Well, in Isaiah 61, 10 and 11, the prophet Isaiah apparently speaks in behalf of the redeemed remnant who will rejoice in the kingdom, showing their response to God's blessing. Just as God will have figuratively clothed Israel with the garments of salvation and righteousness, much as a bridegroom dresses himself with a beautiful headdress like a priest, and much as a bride adorns herself with her jewels, God will cause righteousness and praise to sprout up in his people in the sight of all of the witnessing Gentile nations around her, much as the ground is made to sprout up and sustain lush and productive plant growth. It's interesting, we love to see a garden grow and how a garden is. You know, it starts off with the brown dirt and so forth, or the black loam and so forth. But when you plant it properly and it grows, and by the time you get into June and July, the garden hopefully is full of this, all these luscious plants. And that's a picture kind of like a bridegroom adorning himself for his wedding, or a bride adorning herself. And Israel will be like a bridegroom or a bride or like a garden that has sprouted and produced these luscious plants. So Messiah Jesus, in his first advent, came endowed by the Holy Spirit to preach of the kingdom and minister to relieve the afflicted in readiness for the kingdom. However, due to his rejection by sinful Israel, he withdrew that kingdom offer, but will return after the great tribulation when Israel is saved and forgiven her sin to install that kingdom with its great blessings, so that Israel before the world reflects the righteousness and the blessing of the Lord. So, may we believe that just as Jesus came in his first advent only to be rejected by a sinful Israel, he will surely come again to set up his messianic kingdom of righteousness and blessing, that we believe in him to have eternal life. Like I've said many times, I take it for granted with the people that we have here, prayer meeting night, you come so faithfully that I take it for granted almost always that you know the Lord, but just in case, if you don't know Christ as your Savior, I would urge you to believe in him. In order to enjoy the kingdom of God that is coming, you have to know the Lord. And then, number two, may we live then in righteous lives in the power of the Holy Spirit to enjoy God's blessings in our current lives as a foretaste of the kingdom blessings that are to come. I put down an interesting passage in 1 Timothy chapter 4, verse 8. A lot of times as Christians, we're told to focus on the life that is to come rather than the life that is here. But if we walk with the Lord, not only are there blessings in the life to come, there are also spin-off blessings in this life. 1 Timothy 4:8, Paul says, "For bodily exercise profits little, but godliness is profitable unto all things, having promise of the life that now is and of that which is to come." So godliness will benefit you in this current life. In fact, if you're a godly person, your chances of having a happier life and a more fulfilling life, a more relaxed life, which is very good for your physical health, will come about. And also, your standard of living goes up. I grew up in Nigeria, West Africa, and we were in Muslim territory in the north and in the south for 7 years. We were amongst pagans. And wherever people came to Christ, their standard of living went up. And the status of women went up. Very interesting, much like Christianity. The role of women went up. Instead of being servants and almost slaves to their husbands, they were looked upon as sisters in Christ. And it dramatically changed the society. And people work harder, they're more disciplined, and as a result, they make better income. So there are tremendous blessings if we live righteously with the Lord, not only in the life to come, but also in this life.